Good morning. My name is Reverend Randall Massengill. I'm the pastor at Lafayette First United Methodist Church. We are located at 301 South Main Street in Lafayette, Georgia. Our worship services are at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to worship with you.
The Gospel of Luke, chapter 16, verses 1 through 3. Probably one of the most difficult stories that Jesus told. You can find as many interpretations as you can commentaries and as many different sermons as you can find on the YouTube. I know that by experience. It's awful hard to find a common theme. That's one of the prices we pay by not having a magisterium, isn't it? The Roman Catholic Church has a magisterium, so everybody in the Roman Catholic Church has been told what this parable means, so they tell it. Someone has told them what to say, and they say, this is what it means. But if you're not in the Roman Catholic Church and you're part of that 30,000 Protestant church, then sometimes you and I are it, and we can come up with some different ideas as to what the story means. So hear the story as Jesus tells it. Then Jesus said to the disciples, there was a rich man who had a manager, and charges were brought against him that this man was squandering his property. So he summons him and said to him, what is this that I hear about you? Give me an account of your management, because you cannot be my manager any longer. Then the manager said to himself, what will I do now that my master is taking the position away from me? I am not strong enough to dig, and I'm not ashamed to beg. I am ashamed to beg. I have decided what I will do so that when I am dismissed as manager, people may welcome me into their homes. So summoning the master's debtors one by one, he asked the first, how much do you owe my master? And he replied, 100 jugs of olive oil. He said to him, take your bill, sit down quickly, and make it 50. Then he asked another, and how much do you owe? And he replied, 100 container of wheat. He said to him, take your bill and make it 80. And his master commended the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly. For the children of this age are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than are the children of light. And I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of dishonest wealth, so that when it is gone, they may welcome you into the eternal homes. Whoever is faithful in very little is faithful also in much, and whoever is dishonest in very little is dishonest in much. If then you have not been faithful with the dishonest wealth, who will entrust you with the true riches? And if you have not been faithful with what belongs to another, who will give you what is your own? No slave can serve two masters, for a slave will either hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Here ends the reading. These are the words of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. May we pray. It is our desire, O Lord, to invest in what will be, into the kingdom, and to prepare, O Lord, where our world is headed, and that is to an end. Our world shall end, but your world, your kingdom, shall never end. Therefore, may we invest in that which is eternal, we pray. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. I don't know if you and I know this, but you and I can either make each other look good, or you and I can make each other look bad. I remember the first time I rode on a church bus, the first thing that was said to me was, behave yourself, behave yourself. And I thought, well, why do you have to behave yourself? You're on a church bus. I mean, you know, well, they said, behave yourself because our name is on the church bus. And if you act up and you do things that's not Christian, people are going to look at that bus and they're going to remember the name of that church and say, well, I wonder what they teach the youth or those adults or whatever the case may be. So whenever you and I are on the church bus, you and I always want to make sure that we behave ourselves because our church name is on the church bus. Not only that, but you and I are called Christian. We have a name by which to uphold. You and I can either make God come off looking good, or we can make God come off looking bad. We influence both. This is what this parable is about. That's what the story is about. It is about a steward who invested his manager's money the wrong way, and now his manager was looking bad. So he calls him to give an account. And as a result of him making his owner bad, or his employer bad, now he had to do something to make up for it. So this is what he did. To make his employer look good as well as himself, he called his debtors together, his employer's debtors, and he helped pay off their debt, yet by also taking more from his employer. The first one, he took 50 more gallons of olive oil than he had to give and cut it down to 50%. Gave him a 50% cut. So what will this person do after he pays it? He'll go away telling how this guy gave him a 50% cut in his bill, which will make his employer look good, as well as will make the steward look good. Because how we behave has influence on the other. You and I say about children, we can tell a lot by their parents by how their children act. Do you believe that? Sometimes I'll say that about your children. I don't know that I say that about my children. I guess at a certain age that's so. Sometimes I wonder how we take that so personally. I wonder if how you and I behave out in Walker County, if they know the church that we attend and what we do, how that affects their influence on what we do here. As this steward invested money in this world to help him live on and to get other employment, you and I have the opportunity of giving ourselves to other things that goes beyond us. One thing that we have to give to is Joyland. I'm glad that we're calling it Joyland and not Happy Land. You know, Happy Land sounds a lot like a Happy Meal. You got to go back and get a Happy Meal. Happy Meals don't last a long time. That's a great marketing technique. Joyland is connected to a person, not only to joy, but to Jesus. Because if you have Jesus in your life, you have joy in your heart, which doesn't mean you're always happy. Sometimes you're sad, but joy means that everything's going to be okay, even when it's not going to be okay. Amen. Joy. When you and I invest in Joyland, you and I will touch souls and children who may one day enter into heaven when we are there. They may not even know we invested in it. They may not even know who put money out there and for this swing and all of those playthings to exist, because while they were there, they heard the stories about Jesus. Who would have thought that play equipment could be instrumental in sharing the good news of Jesus Christ, and that putting our money there would be like sending it on to eternity, where it lives forever. The same thing is with missions. Whenever we come to treats and sweets, sweets and treats, I always get that backwards. I came up with a new idea. I think it'll go over like a cement cloud, but it was sort of an idea. I thought, you know, there's a car dealership. I think it's Jackson or something like that. You know, that bids on all these cars. You know, the 70,000, 80,000. You know, it's not only those who are there that's bidding, but they got people on the phone bidding too. I think we should sell tickets to those whenever we run out of tickets and let them bid over the phone. 100, got 105 right here. I mean, you know, you can manipulate it and get the bid up. Well, that wouldn't be shrewd, would it? That would be manipulation. We better cut that one out. Whenever we feed the hungry on Saturday, how many lives do we touch the food that is prepared on Thanksgiving? That which we give out in our community that is tied with the God who has saved mine and your soul, how do we know that that will not meet us somewhere in eternity? You and I, we work very hard to make sure that when we retire, we've got money to live on. Our 401k, our money being in the stock market, we try and work so that when we get older, that hopefully our money will outlast us and that our family will be taken care of in this world. But you and I know that means only go so far, because when we close our eyes for the last time, money can't help us anymore. Our possessions can't help us anymore. Therefore, if we have sent them ahead of us, they will meet us there. I don't know, brothers and sisters. I've always struggled with this. I don't know why Budweiser has the best commercials on TV. It just really bothers me. Budweiser, you've seen the commercials, haven't you? I mean, they are really, really good. I mean, whenever, you know, the football game is on, you know, the last of the year, you know, I watch it just to see what kind of commercials Budweiser puts on because you know they're going to be good. And oh my gosh, after 9-1-1, they only played it once. I don't know if you ever saw it, but they dressed up those Clydesdales and they drove them to New York and they stopped overlooking the city. And every Clydesdale bowed their head and picked up one of their hoofs and bowed in memory and in honor of those who lost their lives. And they only played it once. They did not capitalize on someone's demise. They only played it once. Budweiser believes in investing money out there because they know that if they keep their name before people, they'll never forget them. I've always wondered why McDonald's continues to advertise. Will you and I ever forget that there's a McDonald's? Walmart, the same way. Will you and I ever forget that there's a Walmart? I don't think I'll ever forget there's a Walmart. I don't think I'll ever forget there's a McDonald's. I don't ever think that I'll forget that there's a Budweiser because when I go home, there's a plant up there in Soddy Daisy. That's one of my markers to know that I'm not too far from home. Well, let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. Budweiser, McDonald's, Walmart, and all of these big companies will never stop advertising because they never want you and I to ever forget that they exist. They will put money in their companies because they always want to exist in the world. Well, brothers and sisters, you and I have something that you and I can invest in that passes beyond this world into the next world. And that is people. When you and I invest ourselves in people, you and I are investing in what's called a divine end. Not dividends, but a divine end when it comes to people's lives. You and I do a good job at that because our local missions here help people all along. I'll never forget one lady coming in and we helped pay her light bill. And she said, I used to go to church, but I don't go to church anymore. She said, I'm a Baptist. Are Baptists welcome in your church? I thought that was an interesting question. I said, by all means, we especially love Baptists to come to our church. And I said that with a smile. I said, we welcome anyone in this church. Because God says, whosoever will is welcomed. So brothers and sisters, today you and I have the opportunity of investing ourselves in something that is eternal. We may have our 401ks, our retirement, all of those good things that we need for this world. But there's another world to come that we too are to be investing in. And that investment is in people because there are people that you and I want to see there who may go ahead of us or who may follow us there. Amen. Amen? May we pray. Almighty God, it is our desire this day to continue to invest our life in that which is eternal. We pray, O Lord, that each every day that we have that opportunity, we can offer a word of encouragement, an act of God, or whatever we are called to do to help people know about the good news of Jesus Christ. May we, who are people of light, be wise as serpents and as harmless as doves. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
May the Lord go behind you to encourage you, beside you to befriend you, above you to watch over you, beneath you to lift you from your sorrows, within you to give you the gifts of faith, hope, and love, and always before you to show you the way. Amen.